6:07 on the Central Coast on this Friday, February 16th, 2018. I'm Dave Congleton. Matt Hoy is with us. His website is hoystory.com. We're talking about guns. And we're talking about my overriding question is, how do we keep our children safe in school? And we welcome your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Back on the phones we go, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Brett is in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Hi.
Hi, Brett. You're on the air.
I was wondering if anyone had brought up the obvious about arming teachers. There's a lot of teachers that are very comfortable with guns. I wouldn't want anybody having one who's not comfortable, but there's a lot that shoot on their own that are fine handling guns. And what about having some teachers that have guns on them?
Right now, that's illegal in California. California passed a law last year which removed the exemption which allowed school districts to decide if they wanted to arm teachers and staff. So right now, that is an absolute no-go in California.
But what do you think of the idea?
I approve of the idea. I mean, if you can't keep National Guard troops there, you know, the entire year, and I don't think you can. I don't really think you want to. I think arming teachers who go through appropriate training, who go through some psychological testing, because you know that may be necessary as well, and giving them that training and counting on them, I think that's the best way to prevent this sort of violence on school campuses.
What do you think of the idea, Brett?
Well, I think it's a good idea because, one, you've already got them there. You've got people that are very comfortable holding guns. You could give them a $200 stipend a month instead of the cost of having armed veterans at every school. I mean, I don't know what the cost would be for that, but that would be immense. And I believe Utah just passed a law similar to that about 2 years ago after one of these mass school shootings. So I just think that's something that should be considered. Of course, in this political environment with our governor, that would never happen. I agree, but I think it bears consideration.
Yeah. I'd love for it to happen. Again, my wife teaches at a high school. She grew up around guns. She's comfortable with guns.
Would she carry a gun?
I think she probably would. You carry it so you hope you never have to use it, but I think she's the type of person that you are safe counting on her having a gun.
Yeah. Brett, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, it could be safe. I mean, it should always be on them, and if not, they could have a secured lockbox that it goes into that's bolted down, and you could, so if they're a coach doing running, or there's ways you could make this safe and not have just these kids be sitting ducks and having teachers just shield themselves with their bodies. I'd like them to be able to shoot back.
All right, Brett, I'm glad you called. Thank you. What do you think of that idea, arming school teachers? 543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. So back on this Washington Post article, since 2000, there have been school shootings in 43 of the 50 states, according to the data. The shootings have taken place at a rate of about one a month and left about 250 students and teachers dead.
It's too many. One is too many.
So we asked Debbie what her solution was. Well, let's take some calls here before we get yours. Mike is in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
Hi, Mike.
I think that lady who called in yesterday on Stockton had an excellent idea.
Remind us.
Where she proposed a lockdown, one entry and one exit. Have an armed guard there, a metal detector. Excellent, in my opinion. Also, I'd like to make a comment on the FBI.
Sure.
Do either one of you guys ever remember that the FBI, with all these school shootings, ever stepped in to stop a shooting before it occurred?
You mean in the process or before it started?
Before it started.
I know that there are some examples. I don't know if it was the FBI specifically, but law enforcement has uncovered a plot and they've broken things up. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that from law enforcement. I can't recall hearing one where the FBI broke up a school shooting, but I know local law enforcement has.
Yeah. Well, there was
before it happened.
There was a case this weekend up in Washington State, Everett.
No, no, I'm not talking about that. No.
Okay.
No, that's where the grandmother picked off.
Right.
No, no, I'm talking about the FBI surveillance.
Oh, I see.
No, the FBI, no. There's an interesting article I read earlier this week. It's by, and you can look, you can Google this. It's online. It was in the New Yorker magazine in 2015. It was called Thresholds of Violence, and it's by Malcolm Gladwell. And the kind of news hook for that is a kid they caught who was planning on using bombs and guns to attack his school. And they caught him because he was walking through a parking lot or a vacant lot, head down in the rain, and was going to a storage locker. And that's kind of the news hook for it. But the article kind of posits the idea that that school shootings in this country are kind of like a slow-motion riot, in that people who wouldn't normally act on these impulses to attack a school do because they've seen other people do it.
Yeah, copycats. Mike, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, just one other point. I think another problem is that the cost of committing someone to a mental institution is prohibitive, and there's so many people out there, there's so many kids out there with mental problems that we just sweep that under the rug. The total cost of committing a child is staggering.
I bet it is.
I'm bet it is, too.
And I've got a psychologist coming in Tuesday at 6, and I'm going to ask him that question. I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you very much. We move on. John's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, John.
Hey, Dave. Hello, Matt.
Hey, John.
I think the question really needs to be asked is, I mean, everybody wants to protect the kids, all right? So the question really has to be, to what extent or to what are we willing to give up or spend or whatever in order to protect the kids, and to what level are we set that we've done the best we can do?
Okay.
For instance, if let's say we spent $500 per kid to protect them or whatever, you know, there's that's really what it ends up being. Because, I mean, everybody, it's an emotional thing. Oh, let's protect the kids, of course. So there's a couple things that you can derive from that way of thinking. One is there's not kids that get killed in school shootings across the country. There's just not that many. The percentage is very, very, very low. It's, you know,
well,
the flu is much worse.
Well, see, the statistic I just read is that since 2000, 250 students and teachers are dead. And I invite, with all due respect, John, I invite you to go to a parent or a spouse of one of those who are killed and say, that's too low. Please.
I totally understand that. I agree. I'm on the same page.
All right.
But the flu is pretty bad too. You know, you lose a kid to the flu. I mean, I've got grandkids and children, and I'm
John,
I don't want to lose any of them.
But John, do we not do anything?
Well, whatever has to be done has to be done in perspective.
Yeah.
In other words, do we want our emotions to run the decision making?
I want our kids to be safe. I want our kids to be bad. Am I being unrealistic here that we keep our kids safe at school?
I don't think you're being unrealistic. And again, you know, but the thing is we've got, you know, money is the amount of money we've got to spend is a fixed amount.
I understand that.
What's the most best way to protect the most children for the least amount of money?
Well, let's take the money we're going to put on the wall with Mexico and instead build walls around our schools. I'd rather secure the schools than secure the border. But that's just my opinion. John, thank you. Let's go to Stan in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Stan.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Stan.
Hi, Matt.
Hello. Hey.
You know, back in 1996, a congressman named Jay Dickey authored a bill that made it federal funding for money for research for gun violence. And that got the backing of the gun lobby. The gun lobby in Washington don't want studies because, you know, guns are a problem in our society. There's lots of guns, but also video games and a lot of, you know, social media. But unless you have a study, you know, how can you? You know, we're all throwing out these ideas, but they're all anecdotal. They're all
sure.
You know, proof surrogate type of arguments, and so. It seems like, what the hell's wrong with the study by the CDC to look into research on gun violence in America? Why not spend money on it? The gun lobby doesn't want it. Maybe they're afraid that their gun, if the truth will come out, that guns do play a role, as well as mental illness, as well as you know, a lot of other things that I don't know.
Yeah.
But if we don't have a study, how are we going to know? And so the gun lobby is controlling things, and I think that's wrong. I think there should be a study by the CDC. What do you think?
Hang on a second, Stan. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I know the reason why they don't want the CDC studying gun violence is because they don't think it's necessarily a public health thing. It's not the flu. It's not botulism. It's not anything like that. I think they're worried, and I think there's a basis for this, that what they're going to get is not an unbiased scientific study. They are going to get a policy document that is based on the politics of some scientists couched as something nonpartisan. You know, we've solved that problem here in California. California, they passed a law funding a gun violence research institute at UC Davis. It was, and frankly, they knew what they were buying. The professor at UC Davis, whose research is being funded, is very anti-Second Amendment, very anti-people having guns, and, you know, they're going to get what they paid for.
Stan.
Well, you know, if you're going to have policy on the, violence in America, gun violence, you're going to have something in order to make that policy, you know, some research, some ideas, or else you're just, you know, making policies off the seat of your pants.
Well,
you're going to have some data, some research in order to back up your claims. The claims that people are phoning in are not, you know, in the show today, are not backed up by anything, really, except their own. You know, anecdotal opinion.
I guess what the question becomes, Matt, would you accept the research by any independent organization
other than
the CDC?
If you want to, there is absolutely nothing stopping Michael Bloomberg from funding any research he wants to fund.
Right, but would you accept the findings?
Well, I'd have to see how they did it. And one of the problems with a lot of this, and especially this one they passed in California, is there is no requirement. In fact, they shielded this guy up at UC Davis from FOIA requests.
Right. Stan, thank you. Let's catch Wynette on KVEC. Hey, Wynette.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Wynette. Thank you.
Well, I was driving home and listening to what you're saying and kind of thinking about things, and it struck me as I was driving my car, which can kill people, including myself. I mean, as drivers of cars, we pay the cost for car safety, automobile safety, road safety.
Right.
When we fly on an airplane anymore, we pay the cost, especially since 9/11, for the security and the safety. So I'm not sure how that translates, but I would say, I mean, I'll admit I own a rifle that my husband bought me, but I don't think as a gun owner I end up really paying anything for safety except for the things I buy for my own personal safety, ear protection,
sure,
that kind of thing.
So how might you pay for our safety?
And that's where I think it gets into things. I know I've read occasionally about protections, interlocks, and things like that are on the guns. I'm not sure. I actually don't have the answer. It just struck me as I was driving my car, thinking about how it's a dangerous weapon in a way.
Right. That
as a society, we need to come up with those protections, and not just for gun violence in the school, it's gun violence anywhere, including the statistics, which I believe include a lot of suicides.
No. Matt, any thoughts?
Well, if there are places, the NRA does it, there's things like Second Call Defense, the U.S. Concealed Carry Associations, which offer insurance, basically, if you legally use a handgun or a rifle in self-defense. I personally think that's probably a pretty good idea to have that sort of insurance coverage.
And what is that again? I'm not understanding.
It's insurance coverage to help you with legal fees, lawyers, and whatnot if you discharge your gun in self-defense.
Oh.
So you're not paying all that out of pocket.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so that protects you, the gun owner. Democrats from time to time float this idea that you should that they should require gun owners to have liability insurance as well. It's unclear what insurance companies would want to offer that, what the terms would be, how expensive it would be. And there's generally opposition to that because self-defense is an unalienable right.
Mm-hmm.
And to price people out of exercising that right, you know, hey, you can't own a gun unless you buy, you know, spend $500 a year on insurance. You know, that's a step too far for a lot of people.
When anything else?
My sister-in-law, just one comment on the teachers and guns. My sister-in-law in Texas was a kindergarten teacher, and she had a concealed carry. I guess it's legal in Texas to do that. And she's a pretty mild-mannered person, I have to say, but her feeling was she was not about to have a situation where she could not protect herself, and in particular the kindergarten students that she felt she was in charge of, you know, when she had them.
And she's a kindergarten teacher, and she's packing.
Yeah,
wow.
And that's, people in her school did that. And, I mean, she's not someone you would expect to... She's not someone who recreationally went out and shot guns, but she lived out on a farm in Texas, so she'd been around guns her whole life and really gave it a lot of thought. And she said, no, I'm not going to end up in a situation where there's a shooter and I can't do anything about it other than trying to lock my kids down.
Yeah. All right, Wynette, thank you. Good call. We'll come back. Matt Hoy is here. His website is hoystory.com. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. All right, we're running way behind. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to California Headline News, ABC Radio News. Craig is going to check traffic and weather together. We're going to give Matt Hoy one more segment because we have yet to hear from Matt about what he would do to increase safety among our children at school. And we'll take any remaining phone calls to wrap things up. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Stay with us. Straight ahead after ABC Radio News at the top of the hour with Buck Sexton tonight, up to the date analysis and commentary on the issues of the day. Don't forget to start your Monday morning off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door. At 3:05, enjoy a Best of Dave, and then we'll see you on Tuesday with Kevin Harris from San Luis Repertory, Annie Lorenzen, also the psychologist. We are keeping Matt Hoy here for one more segment. So if you want in on the conversation, we need your calls now, please. We've had a great discussion about guns. I think very even-handed. We've heard from parties on both sides. This is a topic that everybody has an opinion on. What's yours? 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. What should I ask a psychologist on Tuesday?
Well, the thing that interests me is we didn't have these school shootings 40 years ago. What effect does us, you know, giving young men a lot of drugs to treat, you know, ADHD and other kind of behavioral things to get them to calm down? Is that, what effect is that having on their brain chemistry? Is it making them more conducive to outbursts of violence? You know, again, because it seems like there is, based on kind of the timeline, when we started drugging these kids, we started getting some of this violence.
It, I don't know that there's Isla Vista.
Yeah, I don't know if there's causation. Maybe it's just correlation. But I'd like to know if people have studied this. And, you know, I don't like taking any drugs that I don't need to take.
Right.
If I've got a headache, I'll usually try to avoid taking any aspirin or acetaminophen or whatnot for a while until I can't stand it anymore. I've had bouts with sciatica in the past where I need to take Vicodin just to get through the night. Yeah. I try and get off that as soon as possible.
Matt's in Morro Bay. 543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. For Matt Hoy, talking about guns and violence and school shootings on KVEC. All right, let's try Pat again. Pat, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Hi to both of you.
Hi, hello. Pat. You're on the air.
I think a couple of points. One that was just made about the drugs that we're giving the kids to treat such behavior. I had an acquaintance whose son was given those drugs for just that problem in school, and she said it just really put his psychology into a quandary as far as the effect it had on him. And switching gears, I think we've beaten the guns into the ground as our go-to solution. And the proof of it is the FBI, with all of our machinations, fumbled the ball. So there was plenty of rules. It's just now we got to implement them properly. So I'm thinking, well, now that we've beaten the gun into the ground, the Second Amendment, I'm thinking, well, what really is the cause? Because it wouldn't made any difference if the FBI let us down, really. And I'm thinking, well, what's really going on? And I'm thinking, why don't we start looking at the First Amendment? And what I mean by that is the influences societally from the media, entertainment, and if we're going to micromanage a gun, the Second Amendment, down to the way it can look or how many bullets in a magazine, why can't we start micromanaging the content that's going over our national airwaves and literally start getting psychiatrists involved as to the effect that this kind of stuff is having, especially the video games nowadays, for the children whose minds are just finding it quite easy to accept such satanic influences to go kill them each other. And
well,
I'm thinking,
well, but here's an easy answer to that, is that it's kind of like with gun violence, Matt. The debate is ongoing. There's, as you well know, there's research on both sides about the impact of video games and TV on violence.
And yeah. Honestly, you know, I've got a journalism background just like you do. I don't like the idea of muzzling the First Amendment for any reason, because I don't want it. You know, there's lots of people politically on the other side of the aisle from where I am as a conservative who would like to muzzle me, and unfortunately people like on my side get in power and they want to muzzle the other side. So I just prefer no muzzles. I'd prefer we take a lot of these restrictions off the Second Amendment as well.
All right, Pat, thank you. Dana's in Atascadero on KVEC. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, hey, Dave.
Hi, Dana.
Hey, I was just calling. Your guest was saying a few minutes ago, you know, 40 years ago plus, this didn't happen. Well, 40 plus years ago, we had mental hospitals for people. And I think that, you know, like this Cruz kid, you know, the sheriff's department was called 20 times, the FBI.
Dana, you with us? All right, well, I got the gist of it. 40 years ago, we had better facilities for the mentally ill.
Again, it's these. We've got some competing ideas that we're facing here with this gun violence issue. You've got the freedom of the press that the last guest talked about. You've got the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms to defend yourself. And the third one is, you know, this due process issue. At what point and what process do you go through to involuntarily commit someone to a mental institution?
Jerry's in Cambria on KVEC. Hi, Jerry.
Howdy.
Hi, Jerry.
Well, you're talking about 40, 50 years ago,
right.
The good old days. I was a high school teacher in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Wow.
In an impoverished neighborhood that had gangs.
Okay.
What we did was to build a 10-foot chain-link fence around the high school. We had two security guards. Every student came into the campus through one gate. and he was scrutinized by the security guards. We did not have backpacks then. The kids carried their books home to do their homework and carried their books back to school in their arms. The books that they did not need were in their lockers. And as a consequence, we controlled gang activity. The school was in a gang area. Our district boundaries included one gang, but there were other gangs, and they were all territorial. So what we were trying to accomplish is the conflict between gangs. The kids that came onto our campus had identification cards for as they were students of the school. Yeah. When they passed through, they showed their ID card.
Do they do that now? Do they do that now?
No, I'm curious about how many students were enrolled at this school.
Over 2,000.
Okay, so that's a big school. That takes quite a bit of doing.
Yes.
And part of that is
because every student going on to the campus went through one gate with two guards on each side checking them to make sure that they were students.
Where was the school at, Jerry?
In Southern California, in Norwalk.
Okay.
And it was an impoverished area. 75% of the parents did not graduate from high school themselves. We had a high percentage of Mexicans, and that was the gang activity between one Mexican gang and another Mexican gang.
Wow. But it sounds like what you did back in the 50s and 60s and 70s is something you're advocating today, correct?
Correct. Trump talks about building a wall. Okay, school district, build a fence, a chain link fence, and do away with the backpacks.
I'm glad you called, Jerry. Well, it's interesting he mentions that because there was an article last week in the Washington Post. You know what's fading out? School lockers.
Yeah, they've been fading out for years. I had a locker in high school, and I've lived places where they've taken all those lockers and put bars through them, and they don't want students using them because they were hiding drugs and stuff in them.
All right, Dana's back with us. Hey, Dana.
Yeah, hey, sorry about that, guys.
That's fine.
Hey, I was just going to say the guest earlier said 40 years ago, we didn't have a lot of these issues. Well, 40-plus years ago, we also had the mental hospitals before they all got shut down. And I think you take a kid like this Cruz kid, who'd been the sheriff and contacted 20 times on, he'd end up in a mental hospital today if it was back then. I don't know.
So I guess we can blame everything on Ronald Reagan.
Well, I don't want to blame anything on Ronald Reagan. He's one of my heroes. But
he closed the mental hospitals.
After being sued by the ACLU, if I recall.
I think that in today's world, we got the floodgates got opened, and now we got all these people on the streets that never would have been on the streets, 40-plus years ago. So, it's something to look at, I think.
Matt, what do you think about that?
He's right. It's a due process thing. At what point can you lock them up? It used to be really easy. This guy's a problem, lock him up. And they decided that wasn't the way to go. Maybe we return to that, but we've got all sorts of legal hurdles now that we'd have to overcome.
All right. Thank you for calling back, Dana. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now. Matt Hoy is here. HoyStory.com is his website. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Don is in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Don.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi, Don.
Hey,
hello.
I know we talk about, a lot in politics and gun control and things like that, but honestly, I think it all starts back at home and with the family and the mom and dad. They got to, not saying anybody else is not raising them right, I just think that it goes back to morals and values and doing the right thing and treating people with respect.
But in this case,
if we do that at home, it's going to end up, growing up as a good teenager and as a good adult and a good influence to the rest of the world.
And Don, I'm not disagreeing with you, but in this case, his parents were dead.
Were both of them dead? I heard the mother died. I didn't know about the father.
The mother died November 1st, and the father had died a couple years ago.
Okay.
He had no parents.
Okay. Well, most of us have, an uncle, an aunt, and other family to lead us in the right path.
Right, and he clearly had no family to lead him.
I mean, myself, I don't have a mom and dad since I was 8 years old. I'm not, out there doing crazy things or anything like that. So I'm trying to establish it, you know, my kids to be young adults.
Good for you.
And there's something to be said for parents being parents as opposed to being friends.
Don't even go down there. That's a whole other show. We're almost home.
You know, I'm substitute teaching, and I see parents, you know, texting or calling their kids on their cell phones in the middle of the school day, right, in the middle of class, and that drives me up the walls. Parents don't do that.
All right, Don, thank you. Last call, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Bob is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sorry I've missed most of the segment, but I did hear the last couple calls, and the retired teacher talked about things that we didn't have back then and things that we did have.
Right.
And you had the teacher from Stockton calling yesterday, talked about how they have the fencing, they have the security gates, they have the metal detectors, and, you know, they're on it.
Yes.
The one thing that we have nowadays that we didn't have back then, besides the more racy movies and video games, is back then we didn't have the flood of firearms available at the prices that they can be had for now either. And my father had a small grocery store. He carried a small pistol with him as protection, but he was very secretive about it. When I confronted him one time about having it, he told me why he had it, and he didn't want anybody to know because he didn't want anybody getting a hold of it. And my grandfather had a couple of rifles.
But if I may, Bob, if I may, and before Matt responds, because I got no dog in this hunt, but I've heard from many people, like in San Luis Obispo, back in the 60s, they took their guns to school in their truck. And all the kids had a gun because that's how they learned to hunt. And they wouldn't even bother locking their trucks. I mean, there may have been different types of weapons, Matt, but guns have been around.
The guns have been around. You used to be able to buy guns, you know, have it delivered to your door from the Sears catalog. That hasn't happened for several decades now. You've got 10-day waiting periods in California. Even if you already own a gun, you still got to wait 10 days to get another gun. The background checks, I think guns were far cheaper back then relative to your income, and I think they were easier to come by.
But they were also designed primarily as either a clinker or a hunting or target rifle. The AR-15 has one purpose only, and any weapon that's designed similar to that is designed to fire as many projectiles as you can squeeze a trigger to. They've got expanding clips available to hold many, many, many bullets without reloading. They're designed to kill, period. We didn't have those weapons back then. We didn't have that problem back then.
You're describing most every semi-automatic weapon today.
No, sir.
Yes.
Now, today, maybe. But back then, we had semi-automatic. But we had a 5-shot clip or a 10-shot clip. We didn't have 30, 50, 60 rounds in a 22.
Well, first off, any clip more than, or any magazine that holds more than 10 rounds is currently illegal in California unless you owned it before, I believe, 2000. Doesn't seem to be stopping anybody.
So his clip was legal there.
Well, but you had the San Bernardino shooting, which was using 30 round clips and whatnot, and
right. They
didn't have those were illegal here.
But they weren't illegal nationwide. That's the problem.
Well, the magazines for AR-15s, if you are halfway competent in a metal shop, you can make them yourself.
All right, I got to leave it at that.
It's not like they're high tech.
Bob, thank you. We've got time for one more call. It's Scott in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Scott.
Good evening.
I know you're out of time. Just real quickly,
you
those
got time.
Clips were available, and unfortunately, the gentleman's somewhat incorrect. But it's not the guns; it's the people, and we need to look at that. and there's all, we don't have time, but we can go into that in a large amount of time and debate. But it's not really the guns, it's the people.
Scott, yes, you can take 2 minutes. Go ahead. Make your case. Talk.
Oh, well, actually, the same thing goes with if you took all the cars away, people wouldn't be injured in DUI accidents. If you took away knives, people would still be injured in knife accidents because they would take them from a restaurant. There's many places that people are going to get guns or firearms that are already out there. If you quit selling guns tomorrow or tonight at midnight, there are so many weapons available illegally. Some people, yes, buy them legally, but most buy them illegally and commit heinous crimes.
All right, Scott, what about Australia? Scott, what about Australia? They instituted the ban. They bought back the guns. There hasn't been a mass shooting in 21 years.
Now, you know, in all honesty, I'm not familiar with that, but okay. I can say one thing that you mentioned yesterday. The Swiss are actually forced to own arms.
Yeah, that's the military thing. But what the Swiss do, Scott, is that they intervene with young teens who are psychologically disturbed, and they try to get them help.
And I think that's correct, and that's what we should do here.
All right, Scott. Thank you very much. What about Australia, Matt?
They didn't get all the guns turned in. They had to have a second amnesty. The estimates are the first time they had about 20% of the guns turned in.
Right.
They had to have a second amnesty.
But no mass shootings.
Well, but you had 6 people killed and 30 injured in a car attack. You know, if they're determined to do evil, they will do evil.
But there's been a reduction of people killed in mass shootings in Australia, is my point.
If you're dead because they run you over, or they're dead because you're dead because they shoot you, or you're dead because they bomb you, I don't think it matters much.
All right, Lance, we got to make it quick, buddy.
I'll make it real quick. You know, you keep bringing up Australia. If you look at their culture, if you look at their society, it's totally different than ours. They control who comes and goes on, in essence, the island. So they have total control over immigration. They have total control over their society, and it's a much more monogamous or homogeneous society than what we have. We have a melting pot. They don't. So, I've spent time. I know it's a different society.
All right,
it's a truly different society.
We'll talk, my friend. Thank you. We'll get final thoughts from Matt Hoy. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk KVEC. Good job, Mr. Hoy. We got about 2 minutes left. Kind of give us an overview. What would you do to help keep our children safe?
First off, I would repeal the law that prevented school district superintendents and local school boards from being able to choose the option of arming staff and teachers if they should choose that. I would repeal SB 707, which was a bill that prohibited concealed carriers from carrying on campus, because I think that makes campuses more of a target for some violent people. If a woman has a restraining order against an ex-boyfriend or a husband or something and knows that she attends a college or knows that she has kids and is going to have to drop them off at school, where is he going to know she doesn't have that gun when she's at school? That's going to and so where is he going to attack her? At a school. I think the best thing we can do, I think the thing that would have the most effect of lowering the gun violence on schools and the number of people who die when someone does try and commit an atrocity at a school is to arm teachers and staff and to have them trained and have them able to respond. I don't want all of them armed. I want the ones who are willing to do it. I want the ones who pass the training. I want the ones who have the right mentality to do it. I don't think that what the way this state has been moving, which is the legislators in this state, for some bizarre reason, actually think that putting up gun-free zone signs is going to prevent someone with evil in their hearts from coming on a campus and killing people.
Matt Hoy, thank you for your time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And to Jeff Eccles and to Holly Hartgrove and Karen Hasty. to Craig Hill for his help. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Be safe. I'm Dave Congleton. Have a good night.